Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.
Build your tribe with this quick Pinterest tip from fitness celebrity turned branding expert, Natalie Jill.
First, have to know what problem you're trying to solve, who are you trying to attract for that, and then get in their head. And that's how you come up with what it is that you need to be posting and sharing.
Welcome to Build Your Tribe with your host, Shalene Johnson. Your host vows to never have a garage sale again as long as she lives.
Yeah, for real. No joke. I hate garage sales. But I'm from Michigan, and in Michigan, like if you had a garage sale, you made bank. You know, you could like pay your mortgage off of a garage sale. But now I live in Southern California, and when you have a garage sale here, people show up at your house at 3 a.m. and start knocking, and then they want to argue with you and offer you 50 cents for a brand new flat screen TV in the box. It's seriously an exercise in your ability to tolerate the human race. I hate garage sales, but you know what I love? I love social media. So lifers, you are in store for an incredible interview with my friend, Natalie Jill. We're going to talk about Pinterest, and we're going to talk about how Pinterest is an incredible platform in social media where you can build all your other platforms. And what's really cool about Pinterest is it doesn't require as much like time and effort and community building as all the other social media platforms. So this stuff is just going to like blow your mind. Put on a helmet. Now, you've heard me talk about Natalie before. What you might not know about Natalie is what I think is going to inspire so many of you who are just at the very beginning stages of building your tribe, your lifers, those people who you want to serve because you have a connection with them, because they're the kind of people that you like hanging out in real life. The best part about Natalie's incredible story is that she's a newbie. I mean, from all relative comparisons, the people who we think of with this huge, loyal fan base and tribe typically is somebody who's been in the industry for 10 or 15 or 20 years, or at it at least for a long time. But Natalie's story is going to be inspirational to you because not too long ago, Natalie was working in corporate America, and she had a very high stress, high paying, but incredibly demanding job. And it wasn't too long after having her baby that she found herself divorced and unhappy and overweight and wasn't sure how she was going to be able to be there with her child with this career that forced her to do so much traveling. And she decided to just kind of take control of her life. And sometimes a hardship will do that. She had to first figure out how she was going to find a solution for her celiac disease, which was an autoimmune disease that was really affecting her health and her weight gain. And so she decided to tap into her own knowledge of sports nutrition and develop a plan for herself. And lo and behold, in finding a solution for herself, she was able to share that solution and start to build a tribe. That's where we really have to look at those hardships we go through and the solutions that we need and understand that part of that process is sharing it with other people. And when you do that and you're vulnerable and you're honest and you share your solution, there's other people who are out there looking for it. So here she is, 39 years old, right? And never had done anything with fitness, you know, other than her own hobby. And she was 39 years old and had become a fitness model, like a legit fitness model, not just a fitness model on Instagram. Like I walk into sporting goods stores, I'm like, oh my God, there's Natalie on that box. But what she likes to tell people is she quickly realized that it wasn't going to be very fulfilling for her to be just a fitness model, that she wanted to teach other people how they could take control of their lives through nutrition and fitness. And then that grew into something where she wanted to share with other people how she, in fact, transitioned out of her corporate job and built a six-figure income with an ebook. Never having been somebody who was famous on TV or videos or, you know, anything. She really was able to create this income and this tribe by sharing her story in social media. But she's turned into not only a great friend and somebody I consider a peer, but someone who I learn a lot from, especially what she does in social media. And she now coaches people to do much of what she's learned in building their own brand and solving problems and turning that passion into profits, turning that passion into something that can not only help other people, but can help you too. Okay, so check this out. Natalie, as we are about to go into this interview, has over 12,000 followers on Pinterest. She has 240,000 followers on Facebook, 20,000 on YouTube, and 400,000 on Instagram. That is crazy. But what's even crazier or cooler than that is how she's been able to use Pinterest to help build all of her social media platforms. I cannot wait for you to hear this stuff. So let's just get right to Natalie's interview. She's here, everybody. Natalie, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm awesome. I'm great because I get to talk to you. I'm always excited when I get to talk to you. You're one of those people that you make my wheels turn. I think the one thing we share in common is we both have a hard time finishing sentences because our brain is already on to the next.
Exactly.
Well, I'm really excited to have our listeners learn from you, number one, because I learn so much from you. And I know you're a student. I know you are always intrigued by how other people are doing things and how you can better build your brand and serve the people who follow you, what I like to call your lifers, and the people who are part of your tribe. And that's why I asked you to be one of our first and special guests, because I want people to know that building a tribe isn't something that has to take 10 years. So in our introduction, I kind of shared with people a little bit about your story, but I think the part that's going to be most inspirational to people that are listening is that this can be done so much quicker than what you realize. It's not a 10-year process. It's not a 15-year process, but it does take some thought. And I've spent a lot of time on your social media platforms. It's how I met you. I was just attracted to what you were posting online. And I'm curious if you have a guiding principle about the way you treat your followers, your fans, and your customers.
Yeah, great question. I actually do. And it's really, I treat them no different than I would treat a friend that I care about. And that being said, I truly talk to the type of person I want to attract. And I really don't talk to the masses. And everyone says, well, gosh, you're reaching the masses. I'm not doing that by trying to reach the masses. I'm doing that by talking to the type of person I want to attract and sharing more of what makes me special, what I love, and what I'm knowledgeable about, and I attract other people interested in those same topics.
That's very interesting. I do think there's that temptation for all of us to want to please everyone. How do you deal with, you know, those people who, it's social media, so they feel like they have this anonymity and they can say, you know, rude things, or they just don't connect with your message, like they don't get you. How do you deal with that and stay true to your lifer and really to who you are?
That's a great question. And at the beginning, it really was a hard thing because you start out trying to be perfect and polished and you want everyone to love you. And I would get really down and depressed and sidetracked and start having doubt because of, you know, one negative comment or, you know, a hater. And I would spend all this time addressing them. And as soon as I realized that that was just attracting more of that, I really just started ignoring them. The same way I would say getting negative out of your life in real life. I just only started responding or addressing my audience, the people I wanted to talk to. And I would do that literally by ignoring comments that were going in the wrong direction or even deleting them off of my social media. Because I did find that a negative comment or unsupporter would start a negative thread. Yeah. So I don't even want them there. So I ignore them and I talk to the person I'm trying to attract, my life, or the person that I want to work with.
Now, I think that's a controversial position, but it's one that I agree with and I share the same feelings as you, is I will delete a hater or somebody who's negative, not because I feel it reflects poorly on me, but because I don't want to share my platform with them and I don't want to open up my doors, open up my home, open up, you know, that type of negative energy to the people who I do want to serve. do you delete those kind of comments or do you let them just disappear?
It depends how I feel for the day. Sometimes I construct mean messages back and never press send because it makes me feel better.
Yes,
but I do know that if they're offensive or they're really bothering me, I will delete them because I don't want to see them. And it's my page, you know. And I have had sometimes somebody will say, "Why did you delete my comment? You know, I thought this was a platform for, you know, any opinion." Well, I'm going to ignore that too, because it's my social media and it's what I want to choose to share. And I feel so strongly in life about not letting negativity in that why am I going to let it in on my social media? So I can't possibly catch every negative comment, but if I do see it and it's bothering me or it's offensive or it's starting a negative thread, it's gone.
Hashtag amen, sister. Amen. Yeah. Yes, I completely agree. Now, can I ask, because you write these incredible blogs, even what you write under your posts on Instagram and in Facebook, I always feel like you're sharing a piece of you. I suspect that that's one of the reasons why people are drawn to you and feel such a sense of community. Has that always been easy to just open yourself up?
No, actually, it was very hard to do. I came from a corporate America background and never wanting to show any fault or imperfection. And I had a lot of training in public speaking and being perfectly polished. And here I venture into the fitness world thinking I have to look and be and say all the right perfect things. And although it worked to some extent, I would get some following, I never really attracted who I wanted to. And it felt funny. In fact, I would be out in public, and if I ran into somebody that knew me from social media, I would get very uncomfortable. And I didn't really understand why until you're that first one, Shalene, you're the first one that pointed this out to me. It's that I wasn't being my true self online initially. I wasn't being a fake person. I was just guarding. I had my guard up, just polish, you know, checking through everything, making sure everything was perfect. When I started to be more real, and what I mean by that is not sharing professional pictures only and actually asking my audience questions and sharing what I personally was struggling with, it opened up doors to a whole new group of people. And what I found is I got a lot less of the haters and the negative and a lot more people rooting for me. And they wanted to help me as much as I wanted to help them.
I really love that. I know exactly what you're talking about, that feeling when you see people in public and you're like, uh-oh, are they expecting me to be perfect? Mm-hmm. And I think if you're putting yourself out there as perfect, yeah, people would expect that. But you don't. You're real. And I think that helps people relate to you. Did you ever have an experience that has guided the way you interact with your customers and fans? Like, for example, that you said, I'll never do this, or I will always make sure I do this.
I really am very clear that I want to treat people with respect, but I want to not be just politically correct about everything. Mm. So I've always known I'm going to tell the truth and I'll say it in a respectful way if I disagree. So I don't argue with people. I just stay true to what I'm sharing. And I don't pretend to do something or be something or say something just to impress people or, you know, to keep them following me. I do it the same way I would talk to a family member or a friend.
I have to ask one more thing that I think is really kind of cool is that you see these huge tribes around fitness folks who have these amazing bodies. And I think the temptation or what you see gaining popularity sometimes is these, you know, really, really scantily clad, nearly nude, but amazing, these amazing photos. And I know personally what attracted me to you was that you have this killer body and an amazing physique, but it's like you don't have to put it all out there. And I wonder, has there been a time or did you initially like struggle? Because you could totally do all that too and probably grow your accounts faster. What, you know, do you have a thought on that or is there a particular strategy you put in place?
Well, my wanting to be true to my beliefs, my first thing is I never wanted to have anything over the top controversial on the sexy side, mostly because I'm a mother and I thought, what would I be proud later to show my daughter? I mean, and that was really my thought from the very beginning. But getting into the fitness world, there is that push that people want more of that. And when I was first doing fitness modeling, there was definitely a push for pictures like that. And my gut made me uneasy about it. So I never personally did it. And as far as growing accounts, yes, could I? I probably could triple my account if I put pictures like that. But what kind of person am I attracting? Mm. And I tell my branding clients, for instance, who are you trying to attract? Because if you just want ogling guys and women that are going to be hateful and jealous and mean about the way you look, then great, put those pictures. Mm. But if you want to attract somebody that really wants your help, you got to put yourself in their mindset. Mm. What are they looking for? What's obtainable? What's good for them? And I think that a lot of the TNA is a big turnoff. Now, if that's your whole brand and that's what you're proud of, then so be it. For me, that wasn't ever going to be what I was proud of. Yeah. And I also don't believe that lasts. I think you could be in your best possible shape, but we do get older. You know, our skin changes. Everything falls lower. Like that's an unrealistic thing to put out there for everybody to try to look a certain way like that.
Yeah, so true. Gosh, that's awesome. And it's really respectable because like you said, and I believe this to be true of those who we've talked to have a really strong tribe. It's not about how fast you can do it. It's doing it the right way and just really staying true.
Yes.
One of the things that I'm really excited for you to be able to share with our listeners is how you, and I know you've had amazing success on Facebook and on Instagram and even Google+, but what's really been exciting recently is what you've been able to do on Pinterest.
Yes.
So I was hoping you could share with us because, you know, I happen to have joined your challenge and see this incredible just excitement and everybody's like sharing it and kind of doing the work for you and helping to expand your tribe. And I'm delighted to have you share with our listeners your 4 steps for using a challenge on Pinterest to grow their tribe.
I had realized that I had been neglecting severely 2 social media sites, and that was YouTube and Pinterest. What I mean by that is I had a presence on Pinterest, but I personally was not paying much attention to it. Mm. I had set it up. I learned it a little bit. I put some stuff on there. It was doing fine. And then I decided, because I was so focused on my other social media like Instagram and Facebook, that I would outsource Pinterest for a while. And my numbers were growing on it. And I thought, oh, I've got lots of followers. That's great. I never really checked in. And then when I checked in one day, I realized I sort of had a disaster on my hands. I had about 19,000 random pictures going to random sites. Mm. I had a lot of followers that I didn't know and hadn't connected with. And it really just wasn't working. So I dove in and started studying it the way I do pretty much every social media site. And I said, okay, I need to clean this up, start over. So I got rid of my outsourcing there, although I'm a fan of outsourcing, just not for this particular project at the time. Got rid of it, cleaned it up, and had to start from scratch. And I found 4 things, and these are the 4 that I'm going to go into.
This is interesting to me. And you said, from what you've described, you've had a lot of followers, you had a ton of boards, you had a lot of activity, but you said it was a disaster. And I think what's important for people to take away from that is it's not the numbers. It's what are you doing with them? Is it serving your tribe? Is it building a connection with people? And that's, if I'm not to put words in your mouth, but is that why you say it was a disaster? Because most people...
Exactly. Okay. It looked like I had a lot of followers and a lot of activity on Pinterest, but it was not doing anything for me. There was not traffic being drawn to my site, driven to my site. It wasn't increasing an opt-in list. It was not building a connection with people. Mm. It wasn't helping my blogs or my videos get out there. It was just using my name on Pinterest, looking like I had a lot of stuff, promoting a lot of random stuff that I didn't understand or know. So it just looked like a big social media account, but it was not doing anything for me or my followers or my tribe. It was not serving as a tool.
Now, for our listeners, what is their first step if they're going to create a challenge?
The first step, and let me go back to what I found when I was redoing my Pinterest, is I thought, what is something I can do on here to grow this fast and connect with people and engage when I really have nothing? Because I deleted so much and I was starting from scratch. And I thought, what can I do to get people really engaged on my Pinterest and make it stand out from others? And I am a fan of challenges because everybody wants to feel involved in something. Mm. And for me, because health and fitness is my big driver, I thought, what better way than to get people involved in a health and fitness challenge centered on my Pinterest? And I had done challenges on Instagram and on different apps. And I had done a challenge before, but never on Pinterest, just driven on Pinterest. So I asked first. I had some boards that I left on Pinterest, and I started commenting on a few pins that I had that had a few comments, asking people if they would do a challenge. That was sort of my first step. And when I saw that there was some interest from people that are my lifers, I thought, I'm onto something. So here are the four steps. You have to know a goal. You have to have your goal. And my goal was I wanted to grow my Pinterest board and get the right people on it. I wanted to attract the right people. And I wanted to get my other social media and my website more traffic from Pinterest. So I knew that was my goal specifically. The second thing I knew had to happen for the challenge is I was going to have content. I had to have a sequence of what is going to be shared in this challenge that's not only going to help me, but what is going to help my tribe, the people I want to attract. What do they want?
When you say you started with a goal, you knew the goal was to attract the type of people that you like to work with and to build mm-hmm. traffic to your website. Or to another location where people opt in. And then the second thing you said was you needed to plan the content. So If this is a 30-day challenge, what do you mean by plan the content?
So I needed to know each day for 30 days, what was I going to offer that was going to stand out and help people?
Okay. And did you plan that before you even started your challenge?
I planned it before I started the challenge. I went through and I picked YouTube videos that I knew would help. I picked blogs that I knew would help, recipes, and I decided which links I wanted to have a picture to go to because Pinterest is all picture based. It's very visual. I planned out what do I want picture wise that's going to also link to something I want to share that's going to add value.
Now, can't you also actually pin your own YouTube video?
You absolutely can.
Do you recommend it?
I do recommend it. But for a challenge specifically, I wanted it to be very easy for people. I wanted one board where they could go and it would say day one, this is what you do. So they find the one picture that says day one and it tells them what to do. And then they could click on that and it would take them to the video. Because on Pinterest, you can, yes, of course you can pin a video, you can pin a blog, but what you can also create a picture and edit the description and put a URL to wherever you want it to go.
So cool. I assume that you're using your own content, but could someone who's doing a 30-day challenge for anything use somebody else's photos, somebody else's infographics, say, but have traffic drive back to their own site?
It all depends. If you want to drive traffic to your Pinterest specifically, then yes, you can. If you're trying to draw traffic to your videos or website or whatever, no, you couldn't. Because when you're pinning somebody else's picture, if it's their content, it's going to have their URL in it.
Would they be able to, let's say they have photos that they own the rights to. It's not a photo of them per se, like they've bought it on a stock photography site and they own the photo. Would they be able to pin that but then send traffic to their own opt-in?
You can, but there's got to be a reason that there's a connection. So if I have a picture of a cupcake and I'm going to click on it and land on your website, it better take me to a page on your website with a cupcake recipe.
I see.
Because it's not, otherwise it's not, people are onto that. Why is this stuff getting pinned here if it's not taking me to any value there?
Got it.
So what I've suggested to people I've worked with doing things like this is I'll have them, if they know they're going to pin something to a challenge board, write a blog about it first and then pin that. So it's taking them to their site. It makes sense.
Brilliant.
Or they already had it on their Facebook. Use the URL from that Facebook post or that Google Plus post and use that as the URL on the picture you use.
That's great. And so what's our third step?
Third step is to have engagement. Plan how are you going to get people to share, comment, and like? Because just like any social media, you need people to share, comment, and like if you want to get other followers. So for me, I thought of questions. What can I do? What call to action can I ask people? And I used the term repin if you're in. That's what I did initially.
That's awesome.
Repin if you're in or comment below if you're in. Invite a friend to do this with you. So always a call to action. It wasn't go buy this from me. It was invite somebody else because as we all know, we tend to do things based on recommendations from others. So the best way to get more people on your challenge or on your board is to ask people already following it to invite a friend.
So just for clarification purposes, when you say you would put pin if you're in, is that something you're laying like a font over the photo, or are you actually asking that question in the description?
No, I wrote it in the description. I just said, you know, share this if you're in, or repin if you're in, just to get people to, I was giving a call to action for them in the actual description.
Perfect.
All I would have on the photos in the challenge is basically what the day's task is. And then it would say, click here to watch the video or click here to read more. I'd write something like that on there.
Now, I know that many of our listeners feel that social media overwhelm, like, oh my gosh, it just takes so much time to build these relationships in social media that I don't have time for my real relationships sometimes. Is there as much, you know, necessary engagement, like it feels like you need to really be responding to people, and it's a community on Facebook and on Instagram. Is that the case on Pinterest, or is it easier?
It's easier on Pinterest. And this is where I was personally kicking myself for not getting involved with Pinterest earlier. Similar to the way YouTube works. And the nice thing about YouTube was always that things get better over time. So videos, they get more views, more shares, more likes over time. They get better with age. It's like wine, it gets better with age. Hmm. Where everything on Facebook, Instagram, it's very just in the moment. And traffic dies down very quickly and it gets lost in a feed. So Pinterest is similar to YouTube, where things get repinned and reshared over time. They don't go away. So it does work on its own by itself. And the more people sharing your stuff, the more it's out there, the more eyes on your stuff always. So it doesn't go away. I find I'm personally interacting less on Pinterest than I was on other social media sites because the lifespan of these is a lot longer.
Wow, that's exciting. That's really exciting. So it's like the opposite of Twitter, where your tweet lasts for seven seconds, let's say, but a really good pin can kind of take on a life of its own and keep serving you.
To me, it's like the Cadillac version of Instagram. And I say that because I loved and focused on Instagram so much, and I still have a big focus on my Instagram. But Instagram, it's not very organized. You don't have, it's for somebody that is having trouble staying focused, Instagram is not, there's no organization to it. Mm-hmm. And it's very hard. The only way you really can organize things is by hashtags on there. That makes it challenging, and things go away so quick. You don't see your comments, you get lost in it. With Pinterest, it's so organized. You can create a board on exact topics and really stay on track of it and really monitor it.
I love it.
It gets better over time. It's organized, and you can, you know, people can comment on specifically where they have a question, and that stays around forever. So it's less engagement with people. You just a little bit more work setting it up and thinking through what you're pinning and why. But once it's there, it just gets better over time.
That's awesome. What's your fourth tip for us?
My fourth tip is to always provide value. It's like any social media. You always want to think, is what I'm posting adding value to others? Because if it's not, there's no reason for them to comment, like, share it, or want to see it again. So can you add value? And then my tip on the business side is, yes, that can benefit you too. So for instance, I want to get emails, obviously, because I want to stay in touch with my people. I want to stay in touch with my tribe. And if I'm just relying on social media and that changes or something happens to the site, I lose them. So right. I want to have emails. But people don't always want to have a pop-up and a trickery around getting your email. They're onto that. So what can I give them for free that's of value in exchange for an email? And what I do is I have created a lot of different what we call is freemiums, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of value in them to my people. So I share those as bonuses throughout my challenge. So I have 4 bonuses on my board right now as we speak, and I'll continually add more. But all of those bonuses, they are something significant that people get from me for free. But in exchange, I get their email and I can stay in touch with them.
Okay, now does this happen just from coming into the challenge, or is it planned on a specific day?
On my particular 30-day challenge, on my board, every day they get 3 new pins, a happy, a healthy, and a fit pin.
Cool.
And they're clearly marked. Day 1, this is the happy pin. There's 3 different pins. Then once or twice a week, I personally am throwing in a bonus pin, and it just says bonus number one or bonus number two. And on there, it shares, like, one of mine is free 10 gluten-free recipe guide. If somebody's interested in gluten-free recipes, it's a great thing for them to download right there. And In exchange, I get their email.
It's great. I love it. And I mean, seriously, that's an amazing gift. By the way, for those of you who are listening and not in front of your computers, once you go to shaleenjohnson.com/podcast, I will have in our show notes a direct link to Natalie's challenge board so you can see exactly how she did it and, you know, just kind of put into real life operations standpoint what this looks like. So don't worry about it. You can stay tuned and stick with us while we finish some of these great tips, and then you'll be able to see exactly how she does this. Now, what about, Natalie, someone who, you know, they're just starting out, they're building their tribe, they don't have anything that they've created themselves to give, let's say, as a bonus? How would they do that?
Your bonus could just be a tip. You could have any kind of bonus that's going to get people connected to you. Your bonus could be something that's on a different social media page that you're trying to build too. So you could just to get more followers there. Like, okay. Hey, I have a free recipe that I just posted on my Facebook here. Here's the link. A bonus could be anything that's a call to action that's going to help your tribe and yourself. Okay. So you want it to help and I did want to say something really important here, because you mentioned that a few times about people just starting out. I wanted to point out that it didn't just grow for me because I had a following or already had a website or a big social media following. Quite the opposite with Pinterest. I truly was starting over with Pinterest. So it doesn't, if you have nothing and nobody knows your name, that doesn't matter. If you share the right things and you can use a couple hashtags, you comment on other boards that are similar, you will attract some people. And it doesn't take a lot of people, it takes a few of the right people, and then they will share with others.
That's awesome. I love that. And these are great tips. I've taken 3 pages worth of notes. I'm so excited to start my challenge. I can't even tell you. I didn't even think about using it this way. I have to honestly say that I love that you can kind of set it all up in advance and that there's not as much daily engagement. But what about for those who are thinking to themselves, I don't look like Natalie, I don't have videos of myself I want to post or photos of myself, but I have a product or a service or a website I want to share. How does someone who isn't necessarily personally the image of their brand, how can they create a board that can create this type of traffic and tribe if it's not them?
So the first thing is you want to think, what is the problem that you're able to solve? Everybody's product or service or idea is answering some problem. If it's not answering a problem, then you want to rethink what it is that you're trying to share. But you want to think, what's the problem I'm trying to solve? And what's my solution? And what type of person am I trying to attract with the solution? And then you got to get in their head. So what are they looking at? What are they like? And you really can do that with anything. I mean, if your product's dog food, for instance, you know, who are you trying to attract to buy dog food? And what kind of things are they looking at Pinterest? What would interest them? Are they interested in cute puppies? Are they interested in training? It's getting in their head first. And if you're stuck on that, I mean, that's the perfect thing to spend a little bit of time researching first. You know, just Googling those terms and seeing, okay, what are those people? Where are they hanging out? What are they looking for? And then look at those boards, and that's how you come up with your idea. But you first have to know, what problem are you trying to solve? Who are you trying to attract for that? And then get in their head. And that's how you come up with what it is that you need to be posting and sharing.
That is such great advice, because I think you're right. I think the average person thinks, okay, my product is dog food. How do I create a board around dog food? When you just want to get in the head of someone who would be buying dog food. They're not looking for dog food. They're looking for other things. Great example. Great tips. I love when we have a guest who has such actionable steps, and then we can actually see it working and know that we can immediately put these things into place ourselves. Natalie, it's been such a pleasure to have you. I'm going to include in all the show notes how people can learn more from you. You just have a tremendous ability to teach other people what you've learned. And I think that's such a gift, what you've been able to do, just even with developing an ebook and coaching people who want to become entrepreneurs, not just fitness professionals, but all types of entrepreneurs, is really remarkable. And I'll put in our show notes how to get in touch with Natalie and learn more about what she's doing that can help you grow your tribe. Natalie, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening, lifers. Shalene invites you to join her for her free coaching program designed to help you get organized, productive, and laser focused on what really matters. To sign up for her free video coaching program, please visit 30daypush.com. Listen, Shalene felt kind of weird about begging you to go to her iTunes to give her a 5-star rating and leave a review. So you know what she did? She paid me to ask you for her. Seriously, though, if you're enjoying this show and want to put a smile on her face and a bounce in her step, get yourself a dose of good karma by stopping by the iTunes store. Oh, yeah, and be sure to tell her Jeffrey sent you.